want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is, What Are You Doing With Your Seeds? We pray this is a blessing to your life.
Question is this, what are you doing with your seeds? What are you doing with what God gave you? There's not a person in this room that God has not blessed in some kind of way, given you some kind of abilities, some kind of way that you can bless and help other people. But in America, many times, because we've had it so good, many times our focus has turned in. We've been so spoiled. We spoil our kid. You know, we have a couple of generations now that have come up, you know, with, you know, parents who were told that you should never spank your kids. You should never, you know, let them make their own choices and all that stuff. You should never tell them what to do. When the Bible clearly says, train up your children in the way they should go. And then when they're old, they'll not depart from him. And so, again, we have experienced incredible prosperity in this country, but at what cost? At what cost have we experienced the prosperity? God is showing us his goodness in hopes of us coming to repentance as a country, but instead people have taken his goodness and his mercy and his graciousness and his gifts and the blessings for granted. And many have decided that they're blessed because they made that happen. Understand that God has blessed each one of you. He's given you some incredible things. I believe everything that God gives us, he gives us in seed form. I've said that before. He gives it to us in seed form, and you have to do something with the seed. So now let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The things that we treasure on this earth is where really an indicator of where our heart really is. And we have to be very careful, because if we're not very careful, we will fall into idolatry very, very quickly. I've said this before, but you know, all the stuff that we're going through as a nation, all the things that are happening, and really not just our nation, but the world, is I believe that God is saying it's time for the idols to fall. And that starts in the church. The idols have to fall in the church first, because the church has gotten filled with idolatry. And it's a sad thing, because an idolatrous church is a powerless church. We don't have the power to be light and to be salt the way he's told us to be. We have to get our focus back on that which is eternal. And so that's why Jesus said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Those things will be corrupted. You can't take any of that with you, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. And the question is, what are you doing with your seeds? Are you allowing those seeds to be used to make an eternal difference, or are you just consuming the seed? Pastor Mike Mele said this to me one time in a small group of men. He said, pastors, he said, you need to know what's your seed and what's your bread. And you need to be careful, because if you're not careful, you'll eat up all your seed as bread. But you need to know what's supposed to be planted. What kind of eternal investments are we making with what God has placed in our hands? You know, what are we sowing into the eternal future? Everything that God gives us, again, is in seed form. And the question, again, that the Holy Spirit is asking us tonight is, what are you doing with your seeds? Church of the Promise, what are you doing with your seeds? So we're going to look at some sowing principles from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. And this is what it says, and this is in the NIV. I know the King James says something about casting your bread upon the waters, but, and some people think that means you throw the bread out there and a wave will wash it back in. That's not what it means. This is what it really means. It says, ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you will receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. So it would be very easy to just read through that and totally miss the sowing principles that I believe are here. And I believe there's some good treasures in that. So let's look at that, those sowing principles. Number one is this: sow where God tells you to sow. Sow where He tells you. If you don't send anything out, you can't expect anything to come in. Verse 1, notice what it says. Ship your grain across the sea, and after many days you will receive a return. You know, when I read this, I guess because of the heart that was placed within me by the pastor that I grew up under and then the pastor that I submit myself to now, both of them have a huge heart for missions. And when I see this, ship your grain across the sea, immediately I think of missions. I think of missionaries. I think about the fact that Jesus told us to be a witness, not only here, but to the uttermost parts of the world. And so it makes perfect sense to me, you know, on a physical, natural sense, if you understand anything about imports and exports, and if you're really going to grow, really going to make money, you have to be willing to send some stuff overseas. You have to be able to export your goods, that kind of thing. And so he says, ship your grain across the sea. In other words, don't think so small that you think that your grain has to stay in your house and it's just to feed us four and no more. He's saying, think big. Think about the fact that you can make a difference literally across the world. This is why we say it all the time. When we receive an offering here, understand. It's why we put the flags up. Understand that it's not just so that we can pay the light bill and the water bill. We have to do that. But we want to make an impact far across the world to people we'll never see in languages that we can't speak. That's why I love to have missionaries in. That's why I get so excited. We can change the world from right here in little bitty Iowa, and that excites me. We can make an impact all the way across the world from right here in Iowa, a little church and a little town that most people have never heard of, and we can make an impact across the world. But it says, ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you will receive a return. And so as a church, understand, we've been shipping our grain across the sea from the very beginning. I've told people, when we had $600 a month coming into the church, that's what we had coming into the church. And we had to pay rent and utilities out of that. The rent was $300. The utilities pretty much wiped out the $100. But $200 of that, a third of what we had coming in, was going to missions. 200 out of the 600 going to missions, because we knew we had to establish this thing right from the very beginning. And God has honored that. And now everything we have is a church. It's paid for. It's debt free. God is blessing us. We're making progress. You know, thank God we got the pavilions built out there. We're using the property. We're making progress, and we're going to do it as the Lord leads, and we're going to stay out of debt while we do whatever it is He has us do. But the truth of the matter is, I believe that the Lord blessed us in supernatural ways because we were willing to ship our grain across the sea. I believe that with all of my heart. And so I talk to pastors all the time that are under the burden and the weight of a note that they're having to pay for their church. And I share with them, just believe God. He can send somebody with one check that'll wipe out that debt. And that's exactly what He did for us. We will continue to send our grain across the sea to the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, and by the way, if it's not sown in love, if what we sow is not sown in love or it's sown with the wrong motives, you don't get a return. Understand that. In the spirit realm, you don't get a return. The Message Bible translates that verse this way. It says, be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns. God doesn't reward idleness. I like that. So you are required by the master, and I am required by the master, to bring increase to what He has given us as stewards. You remember the story of when he gave the talents to the different stewards. He expected an increase. the things that he gave them. We could call it seeds. He expected an increase. God expects an increase out of our life. The reason he didn't just kill you the moment you got saved is because he wanted to put some seeds in your hand that you could bring increase to. So 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Now, unfortunately, most people in America are about serving themselves. It used to not be that way, but it has quickly become that way. The politicians serve themselves. Those who are supposed to be public servants are serving nobody but themselves. And so it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So God allows us, and this is such an amazing thing to me, that God would entrust us with this responsibility, but he allows us to be involved in the process of life, in the process of eternal life, that what we do makes a difference for somebody else's eternity. And many times we forget that. We can go through our day and never even think about someone else's eternity. We can pass by a person 100 times and never even think about sharing the gospel or loving them with the love of Christ. Understand, you can't bring in a harvest of produce if you never cast out any seeds. And too many people just want it all to show up in their refrigerator. But how many of you found out food don't just show up in your refrigerator? You got to plant some seeds. Sometimes that seeds are, it's money at the grocery store, but you got to plant some seeds to get a harvest. God doesn't work in a no deposit system. So we have to do our part. And this is what's so important that I think a lot of people don't understand. God has already done his part. We're always asking God to do what he told us to do. God has already done his part. He's not going to do our part. Our part is to plant the seeds. He did his part. He did what he needed to do. He put the DNA in the seed to cause that seed to multiply and increase when it gets planted. He did his part. Our part is to sow, is to plant. It's not going to happen without sowing. Go ahead and ask your neighbor tonight, say, what are you doing with your seeds? Number two, sow as much as possible, as much as possible. Verse 2 said, invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8, you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. So I see this in 2 ways. Obviously, when it comes to in the practical sense of finances, it's smart to invest in different things. I hear people when they talk about the stock market and that kind of thing. I'm not big on the stock market, but one of the things they always say is don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. I have friends who lost everything they had when the stock market crashed. Now, here's the thing about the stock market that a lot of people don't understand is you got big wigs up there, including politicians. You have congressmen and you have senators and you have people like that who are allowed to have insider trader information. So they know when it's going to go up, when it's going to go down. They pull their stocks out and put it in, knowing that millions of people are going to lose all their money and they're going to sweep it up. Believe you me, that's happening. Now, if just a common person does that, they would go to prison for it. But the politicians don't have to pay any kind of penalty for it. They're allowed to do it. Now, My point is this. Remember what we said about serving. They're supposed to be public servants, but most of them are in it for themselves. Okay. And it doesn't matter if you put a D or an R or an I in front of their name. Understand that most of them are in it for themselves. So he says invest in 7 ventures. So it makes sense to diversify. That's the word that's used. Diversify. Diversify your assets. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. But spiritually, it's the same way. Don't think that, oh, well, you know, well, I sowed this seed, so I'm good. No, no, diversify. Sow as many seeds as you can, as many places as God allows you to do it. Because then that's where the big harvest comes from. And notice what it says. You never know. You don't know what disaster may come upon the land. So you could sow seeds in this field get flooded. You could sow seeds in this field and the whole thing catch on fire. Sow in more than one place. Don't sow, and when it comes to people, don't just sow in one person's life, and if for some reason it fails or they reject it, you just give up and say, well, that's it. I'm not sowing anymore. I'm not going to witness anymore because, you know, I try to do it and, you know, and they just spit in my face. Don't let that stop you. That's what the devil wants. Be willing to invest in 7 ventures, yet even in 8. So that means that's not a finite number. What that really means is be willing to sow in as many places as you can. Sow as much as you can, as often as you can, in as many places as you can. And I believe this is a very powerful precept. Don't limit God to one place and one time. And don't just become a Sunday sower. Don't just see your stewardship ministry as something that you do once a week when you come and drop some money in a basket. It's got to go far beyond that. Don't see your life as just something that doesn't make a difference or can't make an eternal impact for multiplied thousands, even millions of people. See your life as a continual looking for opportunity to invest your life into others. And I've often said one of the ways we do that is we do it when we give our tithe and offering. Most of us will never go to other countries somewhere and preach the gospel like these missionaries that you've been meeting. Most will never do that, but we can get behind them financially and with our prayers, and we can help them to do that. And you never know, God may just very well call you to do that. And it's an honorable thing to do. See your life as continually looking for an opportunity to invest your life in others. Solomon gives us a secret for the ages here. The more you sow, or the more sowing you do, the more returns you can expect. So sow your life into as many people as you can, and you will eventually see the results over the years. And you might be tempted to think that your investment of seed is too small, that your investment of seed is too insignificant to make a difference. And I think back to the video you saw with Tim Tebow. How hard would it have been? How small a thing would it have been for that man to pick that baby girl up and bring her to the feeding station? Or to at least pick her up, give her a hug, or at least pray for her, but do something. How hard is that to do? It might seem insignificant. Maybe he thought to himself, well, you know, there's just nothing I can really do. But then the man couldn't live with his decision. And though he had all this success, takes his own life because that thought haunted him that he did nothing. And I'm afraid that there are many of us who are going to get to the end of our life and be haunted by the thought that I had a bag full of seeds and I hardly sowed anything. That may be the investment needed that makes the difference in somebody's life forever. Never think it's insignificant. When you do what God says to do, it's always significant. When you show up and cook some eggs and biscuits and gravy, it's significant. When you come out and help clean the church or like many did to prepare the ground so that people can have fellowship in the presence of the Lord for the fall fellowship, so that we can invite family and friends and people to come and have an opportunity to love on them. Don't think that that's insignificant in the kingdom. You don't know what kind of impact that's going to make on somebody's life. Because anything that gets produced through our lives, those who have sowed seeds in our lives get to share in it, and vice versa. So, you know, it may be that the investment that was desperately needed and you thought it was just a little small thing. You know, I've had many people over the years who've made what they might have thought were just insignificant small investments in my life, and they sowed seeds into me that are going to reap a great reward for them, because those seeds were sown in times they had no idea what I was going through as a young man, as a teenager, all the insecurities and the fears and the things that I had going on and that I dealt with. And yet they sowed into my life. They spoke into my life. Some of those seeds that have been sown in my life have been just simply prayers prayed for people, words of encouragement. I'll never forget, you know, when I was working not long out of Bible college and I'm in a big old pit with a shovel in the mud up to my knees and shoveling and trying to earn a living for my wife and 4 kids. And, you know, I had a Bible college degree and I knew ministry wasn't some career to chase. So I wasn't trying to do ministry for money. I just wanted to serve God, and I had to do what I had to do to take care of my family. And so I'm out in the mud in this big old giant hole, and we're mucking that thing out, me and a few other guys. And this man from our church passed by, an older man, and he was pretty well to do. He made good money. He was highly esteemed in that, in the industry, and he passed by, and I didn't even know. I had no idea this man passed by, but he passed by and he saw me in that hole, and he said, he began to cry and he began to pray for me. And he said, Lord, that young man sacrificed 4 years of his life to go through a Bible college. I just don't see why he should be digging a hole or digging mud out of that big hole. I know there's something more. And that man began to pray for me that God would open doors and that he would lead me and he would protect me and he would provide for me. I had no idea that was even going on. In fact, I didn't know that was going on until we decided, the Lord called us to go to Oklahoma and to go minister and be a youth ministers at a church up in Oklahoma. And I had no idea till the final service at the church, and people gave us cards and gave us words of encouragement. And on that card, he told me that story. I cried like a baby, because, you know, sometimes you feel like nobody knows what you're going through. Somebody, you know, it just would be nice if I had somebody to just pray for me, to speak a word of encouragement. I can't tell you what that did for me, knowing that man had been praying for me all that time and that he wept tears and sought God on my behalf. Man, what a beautiful thing. I remember as a young man in church, and I just, you know, was trying to be a little more bold, and we were praising and we were worshiping, and we reached a time where the congregation was just kind of singing praise spontaneously to the Lord. And at that time I had that prayer language, but I never really sang out in tongues. I never did that. And I remember I was scared to death to do that because I didn't want people around me to think I was, you know, just, you know, something wrong with me. And I began to just sing in tongues for the first time in that service, not paying any attention to really anybody around me. But a couple of rows ahead of me was the principal of the school that I was going to. And I'll never forget that man after service turning to me and encouraging me and saying, you have no idea how much it blessed me for you to just pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit like that. You just need to know, you let that flow out of you anytime. Man, I needed to know that. I needed to hear that. That encouraged me. Okay. And there's lots of things like that. Financial blessings at times when nobody knew what we needed, and just God would show up. And I can't even tell you how many times people would come up to me who didn't even know us, didn't know I was in ministry in any way, show up and give me $100, $200, $1,000. I mean, times when it was desperately needed, God spoke to them and they listened. I mean, over and over again, those kind of things have happened. So again, those seeds can be planted in a lot of different ways. So some of those investments have been words of correction that needed to happen from those spiritual authorities that God has put in my life. I'm thankful for all the seeds because they've all helped me to be who I am today. And so again, remember to sow as much as possible. Now, make sure that the seed that you're sowing is good seed. Ask your neighbor again, what are you doing with your seeds? Number three, sow before it's too late. Now, I had to kind of seek the Lord as I was reading this scripture. I thought, God, this one, it just doesn't, I don't get it. It makes no sense. It's almost like it was just put in the text and it didn't mean anything. I couldn't get it. And I believe he gave me a revelation on this. Sow before it's too late. Verse 3, if clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. And whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie. And so remember this, a tree brings increase. How? By spreading its seed that God gave it. But one day, it's going to lose that ability. One day, that tree is going to die and it's going to fall. Can I tell you that one day, and we don't know when that day is, guess what? All you trees out there, this tree right here, we're going to die and we're going to fall. And our ability to spread seeds anywhere is going to be over. And I believe that's the picture that the Lord is trying to give us there. That tree brings increase by spreading its seed, but one day it will no longer have the opportunity to do that. It will not be able to sow. And it's the same way with us. Listen, we have a short time to sow in light of eternity. Just a very short time. Ask your neighbor again, what are you doing with your seeds? Number four, sow when God says to sow. It's important to sow when he says to sow, not just where, but when he says to sow. Verse 4, notice what it says. It says, whoever catches the wind will not plant,
whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. So that means if God says to sow, do it, even if in the natural, it doesn't seem like the best time to sow. God does some of his best work through his seeds when we're willing to sow in times when it makes no sense to sow. Don't wait for the perfect circumstance in the natural realm to sow. And that's what he's talking about. If you watch the wind and you watch the clouds, man, you're always going to have a reason not to sow, because you're going to think the climate's just not right right now. The weather is just not right right now. But don't wait for perfect circumstances in the natural realm to sow. Sow when God says sow. There are times when God's going to tell you to bless somebody, to do something, to say something. And in your own mind, you're thinking there's no way they're going to receive this, or they're going to take the money you told me to give them. I know they're going to just go spend it on drugs and alcohol or whatever. But if God tells you to do it, you do it. Amen. He has a reason for telling you to do it. Now, I'm not talking about just natural compassion on a natural level. I'm talking about when the Spirit leads you. So don't let the lack of spiritual climate keep you from sowing if God said to do it. Tell your neighbor, fair weather Christianity never gets anything done. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. You know, the last thing you want to do when you're in tears is sow. Because when you're in tears, who are you focused on usually? You're focused on yourself. It ain't about them. It's about me right now. Somebody feel sorry for me. Somebody sow into my life right now. And God says, if you'll sow in tears, you'll reap with songs of joy. You sow when it don't make sense. You love when it don't make sense. I tell people all the time, if you've got some kind of physical ailment or illness that you've been diagnosed with, find as many people as you can find with that same illness and go lay hands on them and speak life over them and let that same power that brings healing to them flow through your body. So when it doesn't make sense, and what'll happen is your mind will disqualify you and tell you, well, man, how can you pray for them when you got the same problem? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You let it flow through you. You sow when it makes no sense to sow. It goes on to say, he who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. What are the sheaves? That's the harvest. You might be weeping. You might be going through a miserable thing in life. But remember, God's given you some seeds. Sow those seeds and you'll come back rejoicing because you have a harvest now. And it came out of the worst time of your life. And you got to kick that devil right square in his big, ugly, rotten teeth. It's good for me. I don't know if it's good for you, but that's good for me. Listen, remember, it was during flood season when God told the Israelites to cross the Jordan into the promised land. Flood season. God loves to do that kind of stuff. It was during this impossible situation where they were facing the Red Sea and had the enemy behind them and obstacles on both sides that they had to obey God, do what God said to do. They sowed that seed, told Moses, stretch out your rod. Moses sowed the seed when he stretched out his rod. It was an obedience to the Lord. God opened it up. They went across. And then when they were at the Jordan River and Joshua was there, the Lord told them what to do. They followed the Lord's instruction. They sowed the seed in the situation, and the river opened up and they went through. Now, here's the amazing thing. In the natural, understand that at that time, that season, it was flood season, and it was a raging river at that time. In the natural, they would have never attempted to cross that raging river if Joshua would have not listened to the instruction of the Lord. If Joshua would have yielded to the natural circumstances, they would not have crossed that river. And here's the important thing about that. They would have missed their opportunity to defeat the enemies on the other side. Why do I say that? Look what Joshua 5:1 says. Now, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Had they not sowed that seed of obedience in that time when the river was flooded and raging and crossed it because God said to do it, had they not done that, those Amorite kings' hearts wouldn't have been melting with fear. They'd have been emboldened. They'd have been waiting for a fight. They would not have. How many of you know when your morale is down, you can't fight very good? So again, I'm saying this to say that you sow when it makes no sense. Probably most people are guilty of saying things like, you know, well, you know, maybe one of these days or, you know, somewhere down the road. You know, I've even heard people go this far and say, well, you know, maybe in the next life, maybe in the next life. But Solomon, who is the author of Ecclesiastes, says this, today is the first day of the rest of your life. See, fear and unbelief still keeps people from entering into the promises of God. It happens all the time. It happens in this church. I know you have a hard time believing that. It happens in this church. There are people in this church who are not walking in the promises of God. There are people in this church who fail to sow seeds when God says to sow it because they don't want to be embarrassed or they're fearful that it's not going to happen or whatever the reason. And some people will spend their entire lives on the wrong side of the Jordan. They'll never enter into the promised land, that fulfilled life that God has for them. Some people will spend their entire life waiting to get all their ducks in a row, only to find out that they'll never get their ducks in a row because sometimes them little quackers waddle away or they fly away. Tell your neighbor, sometimes you lose your quackers. And that makes you want to lose your quackers. You know, there were several people at a retirement center that were interviewed. And in that interview, it was revealed that their biggest regret in life was not trying more things to make a difference and not stepping out more. And that question plagues me. I think about, you know, I've done so many funerals here over the last year and a half, 2 years, and it plagues me. And I always have to wonder, I wonder if they had time to think about it, how much regret they felt because they felt like they just wasted so much of their life. The truth of the matter is that probably most people are going to go to their death with a bag full of seeds that they never sowed. Now understand, if you sow when and where God tells you to sow, that's sowing in faith. So even when it doesn't make sense, if God says to do it, you're sowing in faith. When you sow in faith, you're always going to bring about a harvest. That is an indicator that you are trusting that He knows better than you about any given situation. And I don't know about you, but in my own brain, sometimes I arrogantly think I know better than God about a certain situation. Well, God, if you would just do this, it would fix the situation. Am I the only one that ever thinks that way? And I might even in my prayer life try to tell God how to fix it and what needs to be done. And God's just like, I'm just waiting for you to shut up so I can tell you what I want to do. By the way, it's important that we understand that God expects all of us to sow. We also, there's not a person in this room that God doesn't expect you to sow and bring increase. He's all of us to bring increase into the kingdom. And that means that none of us should be sitting around waiting for someone else to do it for us, by the way. You know, we live with this mentality that, you know, even on a physical level, there's so many people just sitting around. We think the government ought to do it for us, so on and so forth. Okay, there are people like that. I know it's hard to believe there are people like that, but there are people like that. Yeah, they just believe that somebody else ought to do it for them all the time. And in the same way, it's the same way spiritually. And you might be a staunch conservative politically that thinks that, you know, people ought to get up and they ought to do something and they ought to be responsible for themselves. And then spiritually, you're liberal. You think somebody else ought to do it for you. You think the preacher ought to do it for you. We grew up in this Roman Catholic atmosphere where the priest is the holy guy. I mean, he's the guy. And if we can get his acceptance and he can give us those, you know, and we forget we're all called to be priests in the kingdom of God. So again, none of us should be sitting around waiting for somebody else to do it for us. And that goes for both the natural and the spiritual realms. Again, ask your neighbor, what are you doing with your seeds? Number five, sow even if you don't understand how it works. Even if you don't understand how it works. How many of you know probably most farmers don't understand exactly how the seed works? They know that you put it in the ground and you water it and you do certain things, you fertilize it and all. They know it'll work, but they don't necessarily know all the intricate scientific details about how that seed works. In fact, I don't know that anybody actually knows how it works. We know it's there. We know there's DNA there, just like you and I don't necessarily know how we work. We know our body does certain things, but how did that happen? How do you and I have the ability to actually think and feel and all of the things? We don't have to understand how it works to know that we do it and it works, right? So just like that farmer doesn't necessarily know how that seed works. He just knows that it does, and he does it, and he's learned a few techniques to help it grow, but he doesn't have to know all the intricate details about it. But he does know this. He knows if he'll take that seed and he'll sow that seed, there's a good potential for a harvest. And he also was smart enough to figure out that if I don't do anything with the seed, ain't going to be no harvest. Verse 5 says this, "As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things." We don't understand it. We just have to trust this is what he said to do, so we do it. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We just, as smart as some people think they are, as long as we're on this earth, we'll never know it all. And we'll never be able to figure out all God's little secrets. So even if you don't understand how it works, why is this so important? Because if I can't figure out how it's going to work, if I can't plan it out and figure out how it's going to work, I'm not going to do it. And we have to get beyond that. I think about Sunday. I've been telling people for I don't know how long, when we go out on the property, I tell them, look, go to that pond back there. That's the one with the fish. But we had somebody in this room with a little stubborn faith that said, I'm going to fish in this pond. Yeah. And caught bigger bass in that pond that had no fish in it than the other pond. So again, even if you don't understand how it works, because that's kind of one of the things, you know, we're like, well, how did this happen? How does that? Well, you know, most people believe that the birds pick up fish eggs when they're eating fish or whatever, and they fly around and they land right there at the edge, and the fish eggs kind of get washed off their feet on the edge of the water. Because we completely drained that pond till there was just a little tiny puddle of water, and my little granddaughter got in there with a dip net and she caught every fish in that thing and went and put it in the other pond. There were no fish in that pond, but now there's fish. I don't know exactly how it did it. We can just try to figure it out. All I know is I can go throw a fishing pole or a hook in that water now and probably catch a pretty nice bass. So again, if you don't know how it works, it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. So it may seem that sometimes whenever we sow, it may have no effect even. It may seem like that what we're doing is not going to work because it didn't make sense. And it may not immediately show some kind of an impact. But God has a reason for telling you to sow to them. And sometimes, you know, it may take years before that comes back. You know, I think about when we were on the street, and I've shared this before, but when we were on the street in San Antonio and witnessing the people my first year in Bible college, and we would go, you know, there were a lot of homeless people out on the streets and all. And this one particular man we had gone to three different times, three weeks in a row, we'd go to that guy and we just said, hey, can we pray for you? He didn't want to hear nothing. He didn't want us preaching to him, but he agreed to let us pray for him. And we prayed for him, just an old drunk laying on the street. And we prayed for him three different times. And then literally the next year, our very first time back out on the street, big group of us, and we're in a circle, and I got my guitar, we're playing the guitar and we're singing. And this man walks up, he's a very healthy looking guy, walks up and he says, sir, can I shake your hand? And I said, sure. And I had no idea who he was. And he was just smiling at me. He says, you don't know who I am, do you? I said, no, I don't. And he says, I'm the guy you came and prayed for, you and your little buddy. It was my little street witnessing partner. He wasn't even there anymore. He didn't get to experience this, but he said, you and a little fella about this tall, he said, every time you come out here, you pray for me. You came and prayed for me at least three different times. And he said, you might have thought it meant nothing, but I'm telling you, it meant everything. And after that third time y'all came and prayed for me, you didn't see me again on the street because I decided I was going to get help. And I was going to go find out about this Jesus y'all were praying to. And I found out about the Salvation Army. And I went to the Salvation Army and I gave my life to Christ and I got sobered up and I got cleaned up. And now I'm working with the Salvation Army, helping to get people like me off the streets. All because we took a few moments to pray for that guy. And we had to do it more than once. He didn't want to hear any preaching. And he said, you don't recognize me, he said, because I was so skinny and malnourished. And now his face was full. He looked good. His color was good. It was an amazing thing. You never know what that seed is going to produce, but be willing to sow it. Ask your neighbor, what in the world are you doing with your seeds? All right, one more. Be willing to sow continuously in many different places. And I'm talking about one more ways of sowing, but be willing to sow continuously in many different places. Verse 6, sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. In other words, go sow seed in the morning, but don't stop there. It's like some people have this idea that, well, you know, I went to church. I did my spiritual thing for the week. I did this. I gave tithe in the basket. I did my spiritual thing for the week. Notice what it says. Sow your seeds in the morning, and then at evening, let your hands not be idle. Don't stop working. There's something to do all the time. Be open for whatever the Lord is leading you to do in the moment. And notice what it says. For you do not know which will succeed. There are seeds I planted that I thought would succeed quickly, and then others that popped up that I thought, wow, I had no idea they even got it. And he goes on and says, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. But do it. Sow it, if the Lord says to sow it. And so this verse means, you know, you never know which investment's going to become the best one. I had people tell me, I'll never forget, I had he was a school principal and youth pastor who told me one day, he said, you know, Dwayne, early on, I did not see. He said, I see what God's doing with you now. I could not see that then. He said, I was just trying to help you get through school. I was trying to help you get through algebra. Anybody know what I'm talking about with that algebra thing? And he said, I'm thinking to myself, God, how is this boy going to succeed in life? He told me that. And he said, I'm amazed at what God has done in your life. Well, thank God he never stopped sowing seeds in my life. And thank God he didn't tell me that back then. He waited until God was able to do a little something with my life before he told me that, or I'd have got all discouraged. You never know which investment's going to become the best. So find out where and when God wants you to sow and invest your God-given seed into that place and sow there and trust him. But also don't think that just because you've sown that the work is over. Ask the Lord what else he would have you do to help those seeds grow. And ask him, where else do you want me to sow? Even if that is just spending time praying for that seed that you've sown, be willing to invest that time. But it may involve more than that. Ask God about it. Amen? All right. Now, let me give you the final thought, and that is this. It's actually the seventh point. Your sowing will reap a harvest. I want to encourage you with this, knowing it will reap a harvest. It may take time, but it will reap a harvest. Remember what the second half of the first verse that we read says? After many days, you may receive a return. After many days. Don't give up. Don't give up. Here's one of the greatest principles of investing in your life or sowing in your life. You may not see the results tomorrow. You may not see them today. Probably won't. But if you sow into the lives of others, into the work of God, you will get returns in your life. And those returns are eternal. Remember what Jesus said, lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. That's not just about money. That's about sowing the seeds that God has put in your life. You simply cannot go wrong sowing God's way. Don't ever consider an investment into the things of God or into someone's life a waste. I thank God for the people who showed up to cook breakfast for the football team. I know I keep beating that horse because I want you to understand something that seems insignificant could be of great eternal significance. If you sow in obedience to and for the glory of God, someday it will become a blessing. Sometimes you might even find a return and forget about the original sowing because it was so long ago. I've had that happen where somebody said I made an impact on their life many, many years ago. I said this to them at a certain time in their life. I don't even remember saying it. In fact, I don't even remember who they were, but it will become a blessing. And sometimes you might even find that return and not only forget where it came from or forget that you sowed it, but you may have no memory of even having that thought ever. It was just a moment where you obeyed God. And there's nothing like the blessing that you experience when you find out that you made an eternal difference in someone else's life. I believe that's going to be one of the reasons heaven's going to be so great. I believe that's going to be one of the reasons that you and I are going to rejoice. We're going to rejoice because we see Jesus. We're going to rejoice because we finally get to see him face to face. But I'm telling you, I believe because of our faithfulness and our desire to reach out not only to our little town, but literally across the globe, we're going to meet thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are going to say, I'm here because of what you did. I'm here because of your prayers. I'm here because you gave that day. I'm here because you cared enough to care about us. And I believe there's going to be a lot of rejoicing that happens in heaven over that one thing. And so, again, you didn't even realize you made that eternal impact in somebody's life. But don't give up. Understand, sometimes life gets hard. Sometimes you can be tempted to get discouraged because it doesn't seem like it's working the way you think it should. But understand, the more you try, even though it seems like you're getting less results, the more seeds you sow, the greater result you're going to see eventually. Keep making the effort, keep sowing, and you will one day see the returns of the investments of your life that you have made into others. Some of y'all, if you're like me, you got family members that are pretty stubborn, pretty hard-headed, and you're tempted to give up on them. Don't ever stop. They may not listen to a word you say, but at least sow your seeds of prayer for them that God can get into their hard hearts. Now, notice what the scripture says. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. It says, now he who supplies seed to the sower. To who? The sower. He supplies seed to not the person eating bread, the sower. As long as you're willing to sow, he'll keep supplying the seed. He supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. And again, it's not just the bread, but even though you get to enjoy the bread of the seed, there's an increase of the seed that will continue and will enlarge. It goes on to say, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You have to step out. You have to sow something. You have to trust God in sowing your life into people because that's what you're really doing. God just doesn't bless you for existing. You have to give. Now, I know some people think that just because they exist, the whole world ought to be rejoicing, and God ought to as well. It's like I often say, some people think that God is just jumping up and down, and he's just excited like a kid at Christmas because they showed up to church one Sunday. Or they ask God to give them a bunch of stuff and they feel so good about themselves because I ask God to give me all kinds of stuff. I'm such a spiritual giant. But you have to give and you have to pray and you have to witness and you have to obey the leading of the Lord. And if you haven't sown anything, it's useless just sitting on the porch swing waiting for something to come during the harvest time because you ain't getting nothing. Faith isn't playing it safe. Remember, Brother Mike actually talked about this. Peter willingly stepped out onto the water. God did not pull him out of the boat. Jesus didn't pull him out of the boat, and he's not going to pull us out of the boat either. You got to be willing to move upon his word when he said, come. So we have to step out in faith and walk in the supernatural. God said, Moses, what's in your hand, Moses? Oh, it's just this little staff, just a staff. Well, watch what happens when you do what I tell you to do with it. Jesus said, hey, anybody here got some food so we can feed these 5,000 men and their wives and their kids? And a little boy steps up and he goes, hey, I got 5 pieces of bread and a couple of sardines. What can you do with that? Jesus says, that'll do. Just watch what I can do with it if you're willing to sow it. The story goes that Gabriel and Michael set up a meeting. Now, it's just a story. Set up a meeting with Jesus after he enters into glory. And they say, you know, Jesus, you've secured salvation for the world and you've left it in the hands of people, a few followers to carry this into the world. We're curious to know, what if they fail? What if they give up? What is your backup plan? And Jesus said, there is no backup plan. The truth of the matter is, though that story is probably not true, the truth of the matter is there is no backup plan. We are the plan. We are the plan. We are the lights of the world. We are the ones that sow the seeds. And if we don't do it, it's not going to be done. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So let me ask you again, what are you doing with your seeds? Make your life count. Make your life count for God. Make your life count for others. Make your life count for eternity. Amen. I did my best to sow some seeds into you tonight. I pray that those seeds go deep down into your spirit, that they'll take root, that they'll bear fruit.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.